and our morning offering will be taken up as we are leaving, so there'll be somebody at each door for you to drop off your offering. So at this time, we're going to ask David Bridge to take for us, and off to him.
You heard what he said. And this is the hungry sign.
Coming across the distant hills, and I can hear them calling me away. Old friends now are gathering outside my mansion door, and I can't wait to hear those angels sing. So I made my reservation for my final destination. I'm changing. me some new clothes, like a shiny white rose. Walk around in new shoes, getting ready to move, ready to move. The marriage supper's ready. He bids me come and dine. Gonna sit and feast at the table with the king. Old David's making ready his golden harp to play. And I can't wait to hear those angels sing. So I made my reservation for my final destination. I'm changing my location to my mansion in the sky. Gonna wear me some new clothes, like a shiny white robe. Walk around in new shoes, getting ready to move, ready to move. Well, I made my reservation for my final destination. I'm changing my location to my mansion in the sky.
I'm gonna wear me some new clothes,
like a shiny white robe.
Walking around in
new shoes, getting ready to move.
We're gonna do a new song for you. I've told this story. We had a gentleman who came to us and said that he was gonna take Daily Bread over and he was gonna make us stars, and it sounded really good. And but we couldn't sing anything in the Red Back hymnal. We couldn't sing anything that had already been sung. It all had to be original music from other people. Well, we have 8 CDs, so we just got up and walked out, because we know that when you're going down the road that you like to hear some good old song from church that you heard Sunday. And if it makes you cry that day, it's great. If it makes you laugh that day, it's great. But we do try to bring a few songs back that's not really gospel, but the words of it mean something to us. So we brought this song back, and we hope everybody enjoys it.
I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I'd swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams, and all our hopes are sinking. Let me show you what love means. Don't you think it's time?
just one step in his direction, and in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. Deep inside, you know he's living, and death has died. Oh, if you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive.
Every beat of your heart when you face the other.
going to do one more, but I've just got to find it. We have really enjoyed being here today. Still no cement people at Hightower. Thought I'd tell you that. We've been to some cement churches in the last few weeks, and sure is nice when you come where all the cement's been pushed out. Or they just didn't show up. I don't know which one. But it's wonderful to pull up and see a churchyard full of cars and this church full on Sunday morning. The good Lord is truly blessed. And hope that we can always help you to strive for that, because we love what we do and we love the people we meet and go around and see. So, but I learned this song at this church, and I know y'all may get tired of it, but every time I come here, I have to sing this song because this is where this song started for me. Journey.
All right. Well, again, we do appreciate Daily Bread being with us today. And now if you would take a Bible out, if you don't have one with you, there's one right there in front of you in the pew rack. If you'd like to read along with us, turn to the book of 1 John. If you don't know where that's at, go all the way back to the book of Revelation and then just start turning back. There'll be Jude and then 3rd, 2nd, 1 John. And you'll find it right there. 1 John. Derek, you couldn't have sung any better song than that last song to go along with what I want to talk about this morning. We think of 10,000 years as a long time. But in heaven, 10,000 years, and it's just begun. Now that's why it is so important today that you know, that you're saved and that you are a child of God. And you can be sure. The Bible is very clear about that, I think. Is it possible to be a Christian and have doubts? Yes, it is. It sure is. In fact, the Bible, we're going to look at that this morning, and you'll understand why I make that very statement. But are you sure about your salvation? And when you're asked that question, does it linger in your mind? Does it bother you? Does it cause you to go around as a Christian worrying and wondering and just really not enjoying your walk with the Lord because you're constantly having doubts about whether or not you are really a Christian? Well, some people say that there's really no way to know for sure. I don't agree with that. Some folks would think that it was prideful and even perhaps even arrogant to make such a statement, to say that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. That's not prideful. That's not arrogant. That's what the Bible teaches you and I. You can stand on God's Word. When you can't stand on anything else, you can stand on it. Some people actually have a strong doctrinal stance that there is just absolutely no way that you can be sure. I don't agree with that doctrine. I believe that the Bible tells you and I very plainly, very clearly. In fact, really, if you read the entire book of 1 John, you're going to understand that John, who wrote five books in the Bible, he wrote the Gospel, he wrote these three books, and he wrote the book of Revelation, you're going to see in that he is doing his level best to encourage those that are Christians to be sure in what they've believed and to be satisfied in what they believe. So you can be sure. And I want everybody that's here today, it doesn't matter if you are visiting with us or where you are from or if you've went to Hightower Church ever since you was this tall and you're this tall now, or you was real young and you've reached an older age in life, I want everybody to leave here today with assurance and knowing that you are sure of what you have placed your hope and trust in. Listen to what he writes. I'm going to only read one verse to begin with, and then we may, if time permits, I'm going to look at a few others. But listen to what he said in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. Listen to this one verse, or read along with us as we look at this one particular verse of what John said. He said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, see that word, know, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I wrote this down because I didn't want to state it wrong or anything like that. Listen to this. The word know means absolute assurance. I'm going to say that again. The word know means absolute assurance. So according to verse 13, it's possible to be saved and to know it. But the now listen to this. But the very fact that John wrote this verse shows that it's also possible to be saved and to doubt it. I mean, why in the world would have John wrote what he wrote if there wasn't people, some folks out there that perhaps struggled somewhere along the way and perhaps had some doubt somewhere along the way, because he's trying to get them to understand that you can know and that you can have absolute assurance in life with what you have believed in. So John says, in order that you may know. Not maybe, not perchance, not a possibility or something like that, but that you may know absolute assurance. Does God want us to know? Yes, He does. And I want to give you four reasons today why sometimes folks has doubts about their own salvation. And there's one that you've got to clear up, and this is going to almost seem like I'm going negative to everything that I'm saying today, but I'm not. But you do have to, you do have to get this one very much out of the way. Some people do have doubts because they are absolutely not saved. They're just not. They have doubts. They question it because they're have never been saved. Now, I want to give you some things, what I'm talking about and what I mean. Sometimes you can go up to people and you can ask somebody, you can say, are you a Christian? You can talk to somebody, you can be involved in a conversation with someone, and you can begin to talk to them, and you can say, well, are you a Christian? And sometimes folks will respond to you, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of Hightower Baptist Church, or I'm a member of such and such church. I'm a member of the Methodist church. I'm a member of the Baptist church somewhere. I'm a member of the Presbyterian church. I'm a member of the Pentecostal church. I'm a member of the Four Square Gospel. I'm a member of Episcopalian. And you could go on and on and on. That's not the question that I asked. The question was, are you a Christian? I didn't ask somebody if you was a member of a church. So the first thing that you've got to be able to understand and clarify and get totally out of the way is that being a member of a church somewhere absolutely will not save you. It just won't work, folks. You can join all the churches you want to just the same as you can join clubs, organizations, and everything else. Joining a church, being a member, having a membership in a church somewhere does not make anybody a Christian. So sometimes folks has a false idea and the assumption that because I'm a member of the church that I'm automatically saved and I'm going to heaven. Well, that could be the furthest thing from the truth, because there's nowhere in the Bible that tells you and I to join a local church somewhere and everything will be sewed up, zipped up, and you will be ready and on your way to heaven. It's not there. I think everybody agrees with that. I don't think I'm going to find too much trouble with that right there. In fact, I don't think I'm going to find any trouble with anything that I'm going to say. But you can't look at church membership and think that that's something that will save you. Now, the next thing is, sometimes the same question you could ask somebody, you could say, are you a Christian? And then sometimes folks will tell you this right here, oh, yes, I am. I was baptized as an infant. Well, good for you. Or you can tell me that you was baptized when you was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. You can tell me you was baptized when you was an adult. You can tell me all about your baptism, but I will tell you something and reiterate it very strongly, that you can be baptized all you want and it still will not save you. If you go into a baptistry, if you go down to the river somewhere, if you go down to the pond, if you go wherever it is, if you stand on the banks of that body of water, whatever it is, and you're lost, when you go down into that water and that preacher takes you under that water, you are still going to come up lost. You go in a dry center and all you've done is come out a wet center. That's all in the world that you've accomplished. Absolutely nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible you cannot find. There is not one little bitty piece of Scripture that will support anything about infant baptism. There is not a piece of Scripture in there really that you can even begin to support that baptism gets you to heaven. It is something that our Lord commanded. It is something that He tells us we ought to do. But it is always believer's baptism. In other words, one has to believe first and then be baptized. Believe first and then be baptized. And the next thing is, this is one that sometimes folks don't understand either. You cannot be saved until you are lost. Nobody can be saved until you're lost. Now, that's happened a lot of times to folks sometimes. Listen, this is what's happened, and this is why sometimes folks have doubt. I have talked with numerous people that this very thing has happened. Sometimes, you know, there's the excitement of revival, okay? Everybody agree with that? And, you know, that happens, and sometimes some buddies is sitting somewhere, and one goes to an altar, and they come, and perhaps they came genuinely because they was lost, and they needed a relationship. They needed to know who the Lord was. They needed to trust Him as Savior, and conviction had come in their life, and so they come, and they make their way to an altar. They trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, that gets a buddy to thinking, and you know what he thinks? Well, you know what? My buddy done it, so maybe I need to too. Bad mistake. I'm going to tell you something. I don't tell this a lot because I just don't. I was saved when I was 14 years old. I was almost 15, to be honest with you. It wasn't because I was hard-hearted. It wasn't because I just wanted to wait. I'll tell you what happened in my own life. My sister got to be about 14 years old, and she never had been saved. And Lord have mercy, that summer, we went to revival everywhere. Mom and Daddy was worried about my sister. And so every week that revival was running somewhere, we was at revival. Well, my sister was saved one night. Well, I was about 10 years old, and you know what I saw? I saw there was a lot of emotion. I saw my mother and daddy tears. I saw my sister crying and all this. And then I saw them just, you know, all this happiness and joy, and everybody is going to heaven, praise the Lord. And there I was. Well, I ain't never been saved. So I went through all those motions and done everything. But let me tell you something. This is what I said a while ago. I wasn't saved because I wasn't lost. Do you understand that? I was not saved because I was not lost. It wasn't that the Lord couldn't have saved me that very first time. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. Everything has to do with the fact that I was not lost. God had not spoke to me. The Holy Spirit had not convicted me of my sins, and I was not lost. Well, I joined the church and baptized and went through all that. And I'll tell you what. I was a dry sinner that went in dry, come out a wet sinner. I wasn't deceived. Some people said, I wasn't deceived. I done everything I thought I was supposed to have done. I wasn't deceived. The thing that I am telling you folks is just plain and simply this. I was not lost. God had not revealed to me the need in my heart and in my life for a Savior. But thank God He did. And I saved. I was 14 years old, sitting about four rows back, and old firebrand preacher sure enough preached, and I didn't think he was ever going to hush. I wanted to be saved so bad I couldn't hardly stand it that night. I mean, I knew for the first time in my life what conviction was. I felt it down on the inside. I didn't understand everything about the gospel. I still don't. But I knew one thing. That I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I will tell you for sure today on the authority of God's Word, whenever you reach that point in time in your life, He will save you, and He will save you then if you'll just trust Him. If you'll just allow Him. So sometimes folks have doubts because they just don't have it. Okay? The next thing is that sometimes people have doubt because of sin. And I will go back and just reiterate this. I'm not going to turn and read it. But if you go back to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, long about verse number 22, I believe you'll be pretty close right in there. What did the Lord say? He told them one day, he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. It's not what you've done. It's what He's done. And that's what you have to trust in. What He has done. Not what you have done. One of the classic pastoral mistakes, though, is this. When somebody has doubt in their life, well, you must be lost. You've got to be lost. If you're having doubts, you're lost. So just come on down to the altar and let's pray and let's just get it all worked out. By telling someone that they need to get saved, that is really and truly already saved, you're not getting to the root of the problem. And really and truly, all you're doing is slapping a Band-Aid on a real problem. You're not solving the problem in somebody's life. You're not really helping them. You're just patching over a long-term problem that somebody really has. So then what's the next thing, though, that'll cause people to have problems with their salvation and cause people to doubt? Well, one of the things that's most obvious and should be obvious to all of us is sin. Sin will cause you to have doubt in your life. When you become alienated from God, the more and more you distance yourself from God, the greater the chances are that you're not going to feel His presence and you're going to begin to wonder and you're going to say, God, where are you? Well, He's right where you left Him. It's where He's at. But that sin in your life has alienated you from God. It's pushed you further and further away. Now, all of us have sin. Every single one of us. Listen to what He said. This is what John said again about sin. John chapter number 1, listen to these verses. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. He's talking about Christian people. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth's not in us. But then he goes on, he says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he goes on and says this, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the Word is not in us. So very plainly, the Bible tells you and I that sin will alienate us from God, and sin sometimes gets so rooted and so strong in somebody's life that sin itself will cause people to have doubts. Then the other thing is this. Sometimes folks want to base their whole experience with the Lord on emotions. Now listen, stay with me. I'm not saying, don't you leave here and say that the preacher said there's no feelings or anything like that in salvation in the world. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. You had to feel conviction. You had to feel that. And then for me, you know what I felt? Just a great sense of relief. Just a great sense of relief. Nothing else. I didn't see stars. Some people have said they did. And you know what? If you did, praise God. That's great. Amen to you. That is good. That's wonderful. Crying is an emotion. The night I was saved, I was very emotional. But I want to tell you what, there ain't a tear nowhere that's ever saved anybody. Your tears absolutely did not save you. Will not save you. So you can't base it on things like that. People react in a lot of different ways. Shouting is an emotion that might have very well come from God. I have witnessed over my years in the ministry, I've seen people come just as broken could be. I mean, just couldn't hardly make it to an altar somewhere. Some of them couldn't. They bowed there in their bench where they were at. I've seen people come running. I literally come running down an aisle. And then I've seen some people come with just a sort of a somber look, no real strong outward emotion or anything like that. And you know what? Those folks are just as saved as a person that come with a lot of emotion, a whole lot of feeling, or anything like that. They're just as saved. Because really and truly, scripturally, I can't find anywhere in the Bible that it tells us that there's got to be some kind of emotion. I'm not saying there's not. Don't you leave here and say that preacher up there, Hightower, said there was no feeling inside. That is not what I said. Absolutely not. What I said was that there's no place in Scripture that says there has to be this emotion or that emotion in order for you to be saved. That's what I said. And that's scripturally correct. Nothing tells us that it has to be a certain emotion. So what am I going to choose in my life to be governed by? And am I going to choose to be governed by an emotion that can come and go? An emotion that's just like a roller coaster that's up sometimes, that's down sometimes? Or am I going to be governed by the truths of God and by the very Word of God and by what God's Word says? I'm going to choose to be governed by the very Word of God and trust it and trust what it says and trust and believe it, that it will keep me, that I am secure in Christ, that I am saved in Christ, that I know I'm saved, that I have trusted Him, that I have believed Him, and that is sufficient in that alone, because His Word tells me so. Okay, so what have we said? Some people are just lost or have doubts because they're really perhaps they're not saved. Some people have doubts because they have sin in their life and it has alienated them from God. Some people have doubts in life because they just keep looking toward that emotion and just wanting to keep, you know, and then the other thing, you know, talking about that and emotion is things. Do you know how many people, you'd just be surprised over the years, that has come to me and said, "Preacher, you know what, my experience wasn't like so-and-so's." Well, you know what? Who of us had an experience like the Apostle Paul? I doubt very few, you know, probably not very many. If you did, that again, that's good. That's a great thing. But most of us, it was just a simple hearing the gospel. Conviction came in your heart. You responded to that conviction. You trusted Christ as your Savior. And that's sufficient. Absolutely sufficient right there. But again, people will have doubt because they will not trust the Word of God. Now listen, this is going to be the last thing. They simply will not trust the Word of God. And remember what John said, to know is to be absolute. Have absolute assurance that you have. This is what it comes down to me. It is yes or no to God's Word. Yes or no. If I ask you the simple question today, if I said, is this blue? Yes or no? Now let's don't get out Martha Stewart's paint chips and try to figure out which shade it is. All right? The question I asked you was, is it blue? Yes or no? That's the kind of person I am. When I ask somebody a question, my kids would tell you, I just like to know yes or no. I like to just, you know, if I ask you a question, yes or no. That's the answer that I like best. So you've either got to believe what the Word of God says, you've got to take God's Word, and you've got to believe God's Word, or you've just got to say no to it. You've got to say, no, I don't really believe it. It's either yes or no. Listen, you think about what Jesus said. John 3:16, a passage all of us is familiar with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes or no? Yes. That's what He said. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes or no? You either take God's Word and you believe it, or you have to say no to it. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says this. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes or no? Do you get it? Yes or no, folks? You have to come down to either saying, yes, I believe the Word of God, or no, I don't believe the Word of God. If you say yes to the Word of God, and then you follow the prescribed orders to the Word of God, then why in the world are you going around with your head hanging down and feeling all these awful feelings and worrying about your salvation when, let me tell you what, according to the Word of God, it should be okay, folks, basing on His Word. It'll work every single time. Every time, all the time. I'm not going to get to heaven someday and stand there before God and say, well, Grandpa or Grandma or Granny said this, that, or the other. It's going to be based on the Word of God. I don't care what somebody said. All I care about is what this book right here says. And it says yes or no. Regardless of anybody else. I'm going to stand on that right there. And I'm going to find every bit of my assurance in Christ Jesus on the Word of God. Now what about you this morning? You're going to go through life and you're going to miss all the joy of being a Christian because you're letting everything in the world keep you from being absolute sure and knowing. Or are you going to trust the Word of God and say, you know what? It's good. I know and I can be absolutely sure because the Bible tells me that I can be absolutely sure. 10,000 years seems like a long time, but it's just begun in eternity. That's why somebody should be sure. We should all want to be sure. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be sure. But quit letting everything that has caused you to have all these doubts and caused, plagued you from really serving God, and most of all, you know what the devil does? He just sits back and he is as happy as he can be if he can make you as a Christian just as miserable as you can possibly be. He's happy. He's won a victory. He's got a little victory in your life. If you are a Christian and you go around just as miserable as you can possibly be because you just simply can't be sure, when the Bible very plainly and very clearly tells you and I that you can be sure. What about you this morning? Please stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation today. Now, if you're here and you, now certainly you, hopefully I've made it clear enough that you know what it is. If you're not saved, you need to be. If you're here today and you've been struggling with your faith, if you want to come to this altar and pray, that's fine. If you want to pray right where you're at, that's good too. But come to the understanding today that you can trust this word. And you know what? Read it for yourself. If you're struggling, just go to the book of John and read it. Read the whole book. Won't take you long. Matter of minutes, really. And it ought to clarify a lot of things. 1 John. Read the book and see if it won't clarify all the problems that perhaps you're having in your life. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want you to come. He wants you to come. He's the one that's really drawing you to come. So I can stand and beg you all day long, and if it's just me begging you, it won't do any good. But if the Lord has spoke to you, He's dealing with you, He has convicted you. The book of Acts said that their hearts were pricked, and they knew that they needed the Lord. If you know you need Him today, would you not come while we sing this hymn of invitation?